Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I'm a former middle school teacher, current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. And so on this podcast, I share ideas and strategies. I talk about those big ideas, but also those practical things that you can use tomorrow. I tell stories about things that work, but also those big epic fails, and I interview experts. All because I think teachers play a profound role in helping students reach their creative potential. And before we get started, I just want to tell you about two quick things. First of all, if you do not subscribe to my newsletter, go to spencereducation.com and you will see the newsletter tab on that. And you can just subscribe right there and you'll get my podcasts, my articles, my free resources exclusive to just subscribers. And again, I want to emphasize really clearly, it is free. Also, I'm sharing today's topic about this idea of depth and deeper learning and the depth advantage. And I just want to say I am wrapping this book up called The Depth Advantage, Deeper Learning in an Age of Distraction. And so I'm really excited about it. It is not available yet. It is not even available for pre-order, but I am really excited to just tell you about it. It's gonna be similar to a lot of my books in terms of style, my drawings, my visuals, things like that. And yeah, it's gonna be coming out. Look for it in the next month or so. So without further ado, let's jump right into today's topic, which is all about this depth advantage. And I want to start by understanding the context of what's going on in our world. AI is changing our world in profound ways. In 2017, I stood at in a university innovation lab surrounded by high-tech gadgetry. I mean, it looked amazing, but I wasn't sure how any of what I was seeing was going to possibly impact my life. I was amazed by these state-of-the-art robots with their hydraulic limbs, but that wasn't part of what I did on a regular basis. And I was impressed by the latest VR simulations, but again, not really my jam. But in this particular moment in this lab, I was stuck staring at a very ordinary-looking flat-screen monitor. The researcher leaned forward and said to me, "Ready to see something mind-blowing?" "Yes, please," I answered. I mean, the truth is, everything in this lab was mind-blowing. But right now, this was a flat-screen TV. Or, I guess, a monitor. He clicked a button, and then all at once, a student work sample appeared. Okay. Not that impressive. This was the opposite of mind-blowing. It was calculus homework. I read the student's question about fluid flow and heat transfer, and I nodded as if I understood the equation, but this was absolutely beyond me. It was a level of calculus I just didn't know. Anyway, I couldn't understand what was going on. So then the professor clicked another button. And two additional writing samples appeared, each offering their own form of feedback for the student. Still not mind-blowing. "Which one is human-generated?" he asked. I read through both responses and shook my head. He cleared his throat and said, "Can you determine which of these feedback samples was generated via machine learning?" I studied both answers again, looking for clues into the syntax. I tried to find the humanity within the language, perhaps some idioms or casual language to clue me into that human aspect. But I couldn't see the difference. Both options were clear and concise with a touch of colloquial friendliness. I shook my head and studied the writing yet again, and he was starting to get impatient with me. And so I gave up. The difference was absolutely indistinguishable to me. "Are they both AI?" I asked. "It's easy to think that," he said. "The grad student is an engineer, and we tend to talk a little bit robotic when we give feedback." "I can't tell the difference between them," I confessed. Well, the correct answer is B, he said. I stood in this lab, baffled by the progression of machine learning. This wasn't merely close enough. This was it. Artificial intelligence had finally arrived, and I felt as though I had officially failed the Turing test. I couldn't tell whether I was interacting with a human or a machine. He then continued, "Don't feel bad. Most of the students can't tell a difference either. To them, they're just chatting with an expert." "So you didn't tell the students which one was AI?" I asked. "That's part of the experimental study," he answered. "We want to see how students respond to AI." My head swirled with questions of the Turing test and the ELISA effect and the notion of singularity. But mostly, I just couldn't wrap my brain around what I was seeing. I'm pretty sure images of Blade Runner popped into my head, and maybe something from Data and Star Trek TNG, and probably, I'm sure, there was something of the Terminator. But I started to wonder about what this would mean for my future and for my kids' future and for my students' future. But it just felt like the distant future still. I began interviewing experts and reading everything I could get my hands on. Still, I was shocked when I first saw ChatGPT. The dawn of the generative age. When ChatGPT launched in late 2022, did you say 2022 or 2022? I never know when to break that into that. Anyway, it felt like a tipping point. Suddenly, generative AI wasn't just this like futuristic idea. It was something that anyone could use. People were writing poems, solving math problems, and holding conversations with a machine that sounded remarkably human. It wasn't just a new tool, it was a cultural phenomenon that sparked awe and debate in a wave of experimentation overnight. I began blogging about this topic more frequently, and I do have an AI-related hub if you want to check it out. But I really started to think, what does this mean? What does this look like? And in the meantime, AI just continues to evolve. In the last few months, we've seen how generative AI has grown by leaps and bounds. We've witnessed a shift from quick surface level responses toward deeper reasoning and more nuanced thinking. It's starting to make complex connections and weigh trade-offs. And if you listen to my podcast or checked out my blog post, I even described the changes that are happening in terms of the creative output, especially in the visual generative AI areas. So to be clear, I want to make this really clear. It's not that AI is starting to truly think. It still doesn't have consciousness. But what it does mean is that our students are going to need to engage with AI more like a thought partner and less like a search engine. And this is just the start of AI. AI is reshaping the world faster than most of us can process. It is changing the nature of work and creativity and communication and even how we solve problems. For decades, we've told students to climb this corporate ladder, following this clear linear path towards success. But that ladder is disappearing. I'd even say it's probably gone. In its place is a complex maze with twists and dead ends and shifting paths. And our students are going to need to navigate that maze. It really is as... So if we think about this idea of AI, it's not that AI is a shortcut in the maze. It's not. It's not even that it's a map. It's more like a tool. It could be a compass if you want it to be, or maybe a guide, a thought partner, someone else with them in the maze. And students will need to use this tool wisely as they navigate this unpredictable future. If students want to thrive, they'll need curiosity and adaptability and the ability to learn continuously. So what does that mean as they navigate the maze? How do we as educators adapt to this new reality? Well, the counterintuitive idea is that the answer to this question is not to prepare students for the future. Our goal should not be to be preparing students for the future. Just stick with me, I promise. The problem with preparing students for the future. When I was in the seventh grade, one of my teachers called the entire class up to the front of the room and he held up this shiny golden disc with wild excitement. "This will change education forever," he said, his eyes gleaming. "Someday you'll be able to pick up one of these discs and learn exactly what you need to learn. No more taking notes from a teacher. You won't have to learn from someone like me." I felt uneasy about learning from a laser disc instead of a human. I liked my teacher. I loved the way he would change his explanations on the spot just by reading our body language. I loved the way he would make us laugh. I enjoyed the inefficient ways he got off topic and we randomly learned things that weren't in the textbook. And I loved those collaborative labs that we did on a regular basis. Why would I ever want to replace him with a golden disc? He continued, "This is the future of education, kids. This will change things forever." But it did not change education forever. I haven't seen a laser disc in, gosh, 3 decades at least. And I'm pretty confident my own kids' teachers will never be replaced by golden discs either. Not now and not ever. Now, I have lived through each iteration of this so-called future of education. With the advent of the internet, we could hop on the information superhighway and get all the questions we needed. We could simply ask Jeeves and he'd let us know everything we needed to do. Then it was one-to-one devices, followed by interactive whiteboards and then netbooks. The next wave involved smartphones and tablets, and then the promise of adaptive learning programs and eventually virtual reality. You get the idea. With each new wave, there was this focus on the future. In some cases, it was, you know, every kid needs to learn how to code. And there's nothing wrong with coding. I actually love what coding is in terms of teaching kids logic and problem solving and iterative thinking. But I wasn't sure at the time that every kid needed to code. And so as we think about AI, the focus has to move beyond training students how to use AI tools. I'm a huge fan of prompt engineering, and I even developed the Fact Cycle as a way to do prompt engineering with students. But I don't think the goal should be prompt engineering. The goal should be thinking critically and slowing down. Those are the sustainable skills that students need. If our goal is simply learn how to use AI, the skills will be obsolete really quickly. Instead, we need to focus on those core competencies that students will need as they navigate the maze. In order to navigate this maze, our students will need to have something called the depth advantage. Our students will need to be flexible and nimble. They'll need to be divergent thinkers and collaborators. In order to stand out in a generative age, our students will need depth. Surface level knowledge and basic task completion will no longer be enough when machines can generate passable content in a matter of seconds. What will set students apart is their ability to think critically, solve complex problems, connect ideas across disciplines, and create original work that feels deeply meaningful. Deeper learning will allow students to do what AI cannot do. They will need to learn how to build authentic connections and approach challenges with curiosity and resilience. In a world flooded with quick answers and instant content, depth will be the true advantage. The William and Flora Hewlett Foundation first developed their proposal for deeper learning back in 2010 or 2010. Still not sure when I'm supposed to use both. While I love their initial framework, I have revised this and expanded on these ideas with some significant changes I've seen in the last 15 years. So here's how I define it. These are the 8 competencies. The first one is focus, deeper concentration in a distracted world. Students need to develop the ability to concentrate for longer stretches of time. In a world of constant notifications and interruptions, focus is becoming a rare and valuable skill. Number 2, mastery, deeper understanding in an age of instant answers. Instead of skimming the surface, students need to go deep into concepts and skills. Mastery means they can apply knowledge flexibly and creatively and accurately over time. And that leads pretty naturally to the next one, which is number 3, problem solving. Deeper thinking in a world of smart machines. Students need to learn how to solve real, meaningful problems that require critical thinking, creativity, and persistence. It's about applying knowledge to new and complex situations rather than just memorizing solutions. So again, problem solving is that deeper thinking in a world of smart machines. Number 4 is closely related. It's curiosity. This is all about deep discovery in a sea of instant information. In an age where information is everywhere, students need to stay curious. It's curiosity that drives inquiry, innovation, and motivation to keep learning when the answers aren't obvious. It's what allows them to be intellectually humble. The next competency is self-direction. This is all about deeper drive in a changing world. Students need to learn how to manage their own learning, how to set goals, how to adapt when things change. Self-direction allows them to be self-starters and self-managers, and it helps them navigate the uncertainty and take ownership of their growth. Resilience, deeper effort when faced with big challenges. Deeper learning requires struggle, and students need the resilience to push through their confusion, to face their boredom, to get frustrated and to try again. They learn that growth often happens when the learning is the most challenging. Number 7 is collaboration. Students are going to navigate the maze, but they need to have deeper connection in an isolated world. And the maze can feel lonely, it can feel scary, but students need to recognize that others are in the maze with them. Working well with others has never been more important. Students need to build skills like communication and empathy and teamwork in ways that foster real collaboration, not just passive cooperation. And then finally, communication. This is all about deeper divergence in a sea of sameness. And finally, communication. This is all about deeper divergence in a sea of sameness. Students need to develop a clear, authentic voice that stands out. Whether it's writing, speaking, or listening, communication should reflect deep thinking and connect meaningfully with an audience. This is all about developing that contextual understanding and that empathy so that what you say stands out in a bland culture. At its core, deeper learning is a pedagogical model. It's an approach to teaching that moves away from shallow and into deep mastery. It's about deeper engagement, deeper effort. And yeah, sometimes it looks traditional, like extended silent reading. And other times it looks cutting edge, like a chatbot for deeper understanding through inquiry. But the common thread here is depth in a culture of shallow. And that's at the teacher level. At the student level, deeper learning is a skill that students will master, a habit that they will develop, and a mindset that they will need to internalize. The core notion here is that the best way to prepare students for the future is by empowering them in the present. When this happens, we are then able to give students the depth advantage that they will need in a generative age. And hey, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Would you do me a favor? If you enjoy this podcast, would you leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever it is that you get your podcast? And also don't forget to subscribe and maybe tell a friend about it. Again, thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day and go out and make something awesome.